I am unashamed. What about you?
I got into this argument with Jay because Jay is so he's vowed to not watch football this year because he's offended because the football players are offended because they want to use their platform to protest what they call social injustice. I'm not sure, you know, the phrase that they're using there, but and we just got into an argument because I said, well, I'm watching Joe Burrow, you know, play for the Bengals.
You're watching him lose.
Yeah, but he played awesome. And I watched Edwards-Helaire for the Chiefs. Yeah, I'm kind of at that stage. I'm an LSU fan, and so I want to see what they do. So he said, I just can't believe that you're watching that. I'm like, look, I see some hypocrisy in that because, you know, he brought up the deal about they were going to wear a patch. I think Jerry Jones came up with the idea to honor, you know, fallen police officers. They're like, nope, not doing it. Not so I do see some hypocrisy there. I mean, you've got bad cops who do bad things and they should be punished. But you also have great cops who have given their life. They've gone into buildings and risked their life and died. And they were going in there and they didn't care what color you were. I mean, they were, to me, showing the greatest love and concern and doing your job anywhere. So you, to me, I'm looking at it like that. And so I said, but here's the difference. Because he brought up the deal that I canceled Netflix. And he's like, because he was shocked that I did that. I was like, well, here was the difference. Now, Netflix was something. And I've watched a lot of great shows on Netflix. You know, I actually recommended one of their rated R shows, which was The Messiah, because I thought it made people think about Jesus. What if Jesus came today? And I still recommend it. I think it's a great show for people to watch and form an opinion on if Jesus was in your life, how would you respond? However, when they came out with this little show about the 10 and 11-year-old girls, they called it Cuties, and I haven't seen it. I haven't read about it, but three or four people that I trust and I know whose life is awesome, they said, I thought, I'm not going to pay money for management to make such a terrible decision. Because they had somebody saw that, because I know how Hollywood works, because we had a TV show. So they all got gathered up and watched it, and thumbs up or thumbs down. So I waited to hear their response, and they were like, yeah, but it draws attention to that and to stop it. But there's some things I don't want to see or other people to see. There's different ways to draw attention to it to try to stop it. Yeah. Actually getting a 10-year-old girl to strip or whatever they do, that's not an option. So I was trying to look. We got a huge argument. He's like, it's the same thing. I was like, no, it's not. Football's free, pretty, you know, the players are actually protesting. I was like, I'm paying for Netflix as an extra, and somewhere in the production who produces that thought it was a good idea to show little kids in risque.
Pure depravity. Somebody tried to show it to me. I said, I don't want to see that.
So I said, by canceling my subscription, what I'm saying there is I'm sending a message to Netflix. I'm not paying for that. I'm out. Now, if somebody else says, well, you know, I'm just not going to watch it. Okay, whatever. I'm not going
to Jay's point, I mean, if you believe that what the NFL is propagating along with the NBA, it's not even about Black Lives Matter. It's about really a destruction of truth. I mean, this critical race theory.
I'm not arguing that. I agree 100% with you. But I just want to watch some football.
Well, yeah, but I mean.
So, I tune into the game 5 minutes after it starts because I don't want to see any kind of protest. I just want to watch the game. Now, what I didn't like about the first game I watched is about every 10 minutes, the sideline reporter would, you know, have a breaking story about something they protested or the coronavirus or the mask. I'm like, I just want to watch the game. go have a sideline report. Let's just watch the actual game being played.
That would be nice.
That's what I want to see.
I'm afraid it's not going to happen.
Well, I mean,
everything has become politicized, and you know, there used to be these anchor points in culture where you could get people together who had different political ideologies or philosophies, different races, different creeds, different religions, different genders, and we could just get together and watch a football game. It's kind of a beautiful thing. Now it seems like everything is being siloed off because
everything.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is this: they make so much money, and they, you know, the idea of using your platform. Because that's what I say all the time. When people say, well, how has the show changed? I say, well, it's giving me a platform. But the difference is I don't use the platform to promote anything, you know, outside of Jesus or, you know, helping kids. Or so they say, well, we're trying to help the oppressed. Okay, fine. But you're doing it in a way where in this country – it's like you have the right to protest, to use your platform, to do all these things. But when you come to the flag, we're all Americans. We have to have something that brings us together. If it's all alienation, well, then we'll just all go our separate ways and be divided for the rest of our lives. Where's the solution is what I'm saying. And if you don't have Jesus, you're going to have problems coming up with a solution. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Well, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Well, that text has to mean something. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe it's a level of homage that you pay to some of this sinful stuff. You just say, you know, at times you just got to say, no.
Yeah.
Well, why is it in our church where I meet, there's every different type of race known to man. We're all gathered there. There's no protesting of anything. We're seeing the world. We're loving each other.
Same way over there, 5 miles from that structure over where I am.
They're saying the same things I'm saying. They're like, this is not the way to protest this by not showing respect for the flag or our country, and I'm like, well, what's wrong with these people? Because I'm not noticing that they're a different color than me. We're there in Jesus. We're wanting everyone to love each other. We don't like it when, you know, a policeman unwarranted kills another black or white person. I would feel just the same as if that injustice happened. I would feel identically the same.
It's a very rare thing when that happens.
It is. Not,
10 or 12
and I've
a
seen
year.
The stat.
10
I've seen
or 12 out of 350 million.
But I'm saying, what about all the situations where police, forget the color, because to me the color means nothing. The fact that we have to acknowledge that we're different, and most people that I've heard give these arguments, it does seem weird. Why do we have to stop and acknowledge, you know, why do we have to have a Black History Month? You know, we should, every day should be Black History Day. Every day should be, you know, whatever day you want to make. When you draw attention that we're different, then all of a sudden you get offended when you think things are not going the way it should go. I mean, we have a clear verse that when Jesus said, you know, when you think about people who say, well, everybody should get the equal amount of money. I think they call that socialism. And they're like, why isn't that a good idea? Well, I know, based on what I read, that when Jesus said you'll always have the poor, I just know if he's the creator of the universe, which I believe he is, there's no system you're going to come up with that we don't have poor people.
You're correct.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
To me, that's where I get my political ideals from, the things that God says. So there's a one little nugget that I say, well, I don't believe socialism is going to work. And they say, why? I said, because Jesus said you're always going to have the poor. But you're not going to have me for long, because he was talking about being on the earth. So you might ought to raise me to a higher standard, because I can get you off the earth. I can give you purpose on the earth. I can give you forgiveness on the earth, which is basically, if we're all flawed, we have to have forgiveness and new beginnings, or we can't go. We can't protest the rest of our life.
I think here's the problem that we're encountering in this current climate is, it's not that we're the protesting is not wrong. It's not wrong,
but my point was you protest. You can protest your whole life. At some point, you got to live.
Yep.
Yeah, I do think there are.
You follow me?
Yeah.
What are we just going to protest
until
we die?
I'm never going to get in the street and protest anything.
What are we protesting? Ever. They're like, well, we want some change, you know, or we want to bring attention to it. It's got everybody's attention. I don't know of one person that was not offended when they showed the footage, you know, of the cop holding the guy down. Every white friend I had thought that was terrible. So I'm saying, whatever we're protesting, we're all like, yeah, let's do something about it. Let's hold. Now, I think the problem is the expectation, or are we just protesting to protest? Because at some point, okay, we had a problem, let's address it. And then you just got to trust the process. And look, then that's all come together as Americans moving forward. But at some point, you're going to trust that's going to happen, because you can't go around and now police every situation.
Let's take a quick break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated, so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
I'll say this about the fight for justice. I've got this written in my Bible here, Exodus 23. I don't know who said this. I may have got this from the dictionary, or if somebody else said it. I'm not plagiarizing your words. I just don't have it written down who said this. But true justice is this. True justice is the faithful application of the law without partiality. So equality before the law, not equity, is what I have here. And this is in Exodus 23. Listen to what it says. Verse 1. You shall not bear a false report. Do not join your hand with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. Verse 2. You shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. Nor, listen to this part, Jace, nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his dispute. And then verse 6 says, you shall not pervert the justice due to keep your needy brother in his dispute. And so I'm reading this and I'm thinking, man, this is where we're at today. Just because someone may be in a position of economic despair, we still can't pervert justice for their sake. And I think what I'm seeing happening in culture is an elevation of justice, but they're living out one key component to accomplishing justice, and that's this: truth. You can't, going back to John 14, you cannot have justice without truth. And so we're having the discussion here about what's going on in the world. That's why even like with the Supreme Court nomination, everything that we're sensing right now, and really from both sides, it's not just one side, but maybe more one than the other. But it ultimately goes back to the concept of truth. If we're going to have justice, then we have to be truthful in our examination of what's going on.
Which is why I say, when it said Jesus is the truth, his principles, that's where I'm going to have my life go in line with. And I know the pathway to new beginnings is forgiveness. It just is. And you say, well, there's a lot of injustice going on in the world. Yep. You say, well, how do you address that? 2 Thessalonians 1:6. Just listen to this verse. God is just. Just like he's love, just like he's light, just like he's life, he's just. He doesn't take vacations from being just. He's just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled. Well, that's what I'm going with. You're like, well, I'm going to protest that someone caused me trouble. Well, you're going to waste the rest of your life doing that because trouble is going to find you. And that's why I know this verse is in there.
There's always trouble.
So you have to leave room for all of the problems that happen.
Leave room for God's wrath.
Yeah. And that's the way I can get over it, because I'm like, you know what? There'll be a day where this, you'll remember this. But then I'm not going to let your bad decisions or your injustice affect the way I live. I'm not going to become bitter, greedy, prejudice. I'm not going to alienate myself from particular groups of that.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do it. And that's why. So to me, that's why what we have in common in our churches is that we're all saying, yeah, we've been mistreated. Look, we've mistreated each other.
Yeah, I was going to say, and we've also mistreated. Yeah.
And, I've had a lot of struggles and weaknesses. I'm a human. One thing I've not struggled in is looking at somebody and treating them differently based on the color of their skin. That's just not one thing I struggle with. Now, living in the South, especially when I was a teenager in high school, I had some prejudiced buddies, and I heard them say stuff, you know, that I would never say, and it was disappointing. But, you know, what am I going to do? Go walk down the street? No. I mean, in my mind, I'm going to try to give them Jesus and change the heart, because to me, that's the umbrella of unity, is where we all come together as sinners from different backgrounds, you know, male or female, and find that unity in Jesus.
By the way, the end of all of that, he'll pay back trouble to those who trouble you. He'll give relief to you who are troubled to us. You say, well, when, and Jay said, I'm going with that, because you say, well, when is payback time? When is this thing going to be finally straightened out? The races and all this and the burning, the looting and the whatever, the rising up and divisiveness and all that stuff. This will happen. It's when it's all going to end. So while we're here, you say, we're not going to be able to fix this. No. I will say, I think it's more of a spiritual fix than a political one. But having said that, this will happen. When's payback time? When God will pay back those who trouble you. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. That's 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 6 and 7.
Yeah, I read 6 and you read 7.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you just go over right next to that in 2 Thessalonians 2, you say, and we mentioned this earlier, the lawless one will be revealed. Finally, you say, it's going to be out in the open, and you're saying, who knows? We may be there. Maybe these are the last days. I know this. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. So yeah. I'm a Jace on it. I'm going to just ride it out. I'm going to vote godly. I'm going to think godly. Mm-hmm. You say, who are you going to vote for? I said, the godliest one I can find. If I get to one, you know, like Trump, he listened when I preached the gospel to him. You say, do you know whether there was a heart change or not? I didn't see him but for 10 minutes. Talked to him on the phone.
Well, and we took his son, Duck Hunt, which that helped.
You say, do you know that he has in fact given his life to Jesus? I don't know that. I know that I pointed him to Jesus and told him about God becoming flesh.
And the fact
flesh.
That he listened was pretty incredible.
He listened very intently.
He asked a few questions.
I
brought that up the other night when I introduced Don Jr. I said, they were the first politicians that I've ever been around that actually asked me questions and listened.
That's right.
Most politicians that I've met, because we've met a lot.
That is correct.
Because of who,
you know. You say, well, what's his status? Only God knows his status. I don't know whether he's put his faith in Jesus or not. I know one thing. He has taken a stand for God and religion, Christianity. He has taken a stand on that. And for that, I am grateful. You say, that's why you're voting for him. You say, what if he was guilty of saying you can kill babies in the womb? I would not vote for him, ever.
Yeah.
You say, it's okay for a woman to kill her child. I'm like, I'm never going
to
vote for you.
But that comes back to my point. We allow the media to inflame. And so every time one of these things happen, because there's injustice all around the world, they run it 24/7 and get everybody, and they try to whip that up. But I don't know exactly what happened because I wasn't there. And I see, like, in the case of the police video, I saw that and thought, all right, that's not right. That's all I can do. So then when football players want to, you know, protest, okay, they do it. I just want to watch a football game. The difference is, now I know showing a little kid, and I'm going to pay for a movie, showing a little kid in a seductive way, I'm 100% sure that that's wrong. And I'm not going to give money to fund movies like that, which goes back to my original, which is what you're saying about if he says I'm not for babies living, you're like, you know what? Okay, I'm not voting for that. Yeah. But
one's a more of a political statement, and one is like we're talking about like
it's a kid.
One's gross immorality.
Well,
I'm not going to be partners with perversion, the murder of babies. I'm not going to be partners. I'm not going to say yes to that by my vote ever.
And look, if people don't want to watch football and send a message, okay, I'm perfectly fine with that. But I just said, look, I just want to watch the game. Well, we've been quarantined. I want to actually see. I could care less about all that in the context of the actual, let me watch my guy who played at LSU. I want to see him play a football game. You see my point? I don't think
I will add this. The protesting will only get you so far anyways, and canceling things will get you so like. There better be a better alternative than just our negation of something bad.
That's what I was getting at. Because that's the way the world works now. When you want to get something done, all the advertisers pull out. And you say, well, why are they doing it? Because they're trying to change your behavior. I'm like, how I go about changing behavior is introducing Jesus to people. Because I guarantee you that'll last longer.
Yeah.
All this other stuff.
And what that, I think what that means when I hear you say that, at least for me, is that we got to find a way. I think this is the hard spot of the believer right now. We've got to find a way to not, because it's, I call it red meat. We could throw out the red meat and get the base riled up, so to speak, and get our side so angered at the other side. I'm speaking in kind of the industrial revolution language of us versus them mentality. But I think we're really going to see something progressive and move forward. And I don't mean progressive in a liberal sense. I mean like something that's building something.
Yeah.
We're going to have to introduce people to Jesus because,
or at least to the principles.
No, I think it's got to be him because.
Well, I agree with him, but I'm saying from a country standpoint, the principles that Jesus represents are the building blocks to success in life.
Let's take a quick break. Yeah, I think I'm just at a place though where maybe I've resigned to think I don't know how we can be this fractured as a culture and survive this. I'm more of the mindset that this thing's probably coming down, and so I want to.
What do you mean coming down?
I just don't know how we survive. I don't know how a nation survives this type of. I mean, from the monetization of the debt, just printing money for the divisiveness, vitriol, the hatred, the protesting,
you were naming some of them. Once you don't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, they've become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy. You say envy. You mean people that would create a problem?
Well, that's
if you have
one.
It, you have it, and I don't. And why do you have it and I don't have it? I'll tell you what it is. Because you're white and you have white privilege. You were given a break. I never got a break. Mm-hmm. But you did, because they made my answer. They were slaves, and now they're still holding that against me. But I want what you have. And you say, well, man, you just have to work hard, live a quiet life, work hard, follow Jesus, and everything will work out. No, no.
But that's my point. You brought up godly principles.
Yeah. Well, look, envy, murder. This is what was going on in the Roman Empire. And let's just see if strife. You say strife. Look, you have a clear picture of what strife looks like. It's groups of individuals. They band together. We've been mistreated. We're mad. But
it's all sin, and all nations
deceit,
have sin.
Malice. You say
but
malice.
Phil, all people have sin. So no matter what nation you have, that's always going to be the struggle.
Gossips, slanderers, God haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. You're like, it's so close to what I'm looking at now. I'm shocked that this is 2,000 years old, the writing.
But for the believer, I think we have to remember that the kingdom of heaven is not the same thing as the kingdom of America. And so we got to remember that.
These
are not the same thing. And I think the church has become impotent because they've conflated these two things. And that's like, no. This earthly kingdom here that we're under right now, I love it, and I'm thankful, and I'm grateful for it, and I hope that we survive, and I hope that I get to live in the land of the free and all that. But at some point, it will come down. Every earthly kingdom will fall. All the rest of them have. And my point is that I think with this political climate, my hope, and look, I ran for Congress as a Republican candidate, and I am to the right of the right. I am a well-vetted, intellectually solid, sound, fiscal conservative who, I get the philosophy behind free markets. I can articulate it, all that. But I'm just telling you, my hope is not even in that. It's not in the Republican Party. It's not in Donald Trump. It's in Jesus, and that's the only way out of this thing. I want my heart to be prepared for that, because I think that's we're in the midst of a cultural change.
Yeah, and, to me, if we're in America, even though, okay, we have problems, we have this, at least we have the freedom. It's not like somebody, you go to other countries, which we've all been in various mission trips, and boy, I tell you, you feel a lot better about America when you get back over here, because you think, well, man, this place is bad. But there, I mean, there's some countries, they'll put a bullet in your head if you disagree with the political. You know, we're not at that stage, and I would say we're a long way from that. I tend to be more optimistic.
I don't know whether a long way or not. I'm beginning
to
wonder.
Y'all seem to be kind of negative doomsdayers here, but I'm like, I mean, because I don't know what come down mean. I mean, it's going to come down to what?
But look what happened in the Roman Empire. What happened in the Weimar Republic? What happened in a lot of these?
Well, but they were, you know, going from country to country, literally just killing people and taking over. I mean, we have inward problems, but we're not. Now, you might could have made a case for that, you know, a few years ago when we're going into other countries. But
would you agree?
That seems to have stopped.
You could make a case.
But I'm saying that seems to have stopped. Now we're kind of like, hey, let's just worry about America. Look, I'm not saying we don't have problems. And you look, I mean, the pandemic, that wasn't anybody's fault. All that did was remind us, okay, we're perishable. To me, that's totally a spiritual issue. It basically reminded everybody that one day you're going to get sick and die, or you're going to be healthy and still die. But death is coming, and so it sent everybody into panic. So what do we do? I think people who love Jesus say, well, there's an opportunity here. And here we go. So I don't see how that has to do with anything. You know, a hurricane come, same reminder. Nobody calls that. So the only thing we're left with is we got, and even the Netflix situation, that was some company in France, you know, did that. However, to me, whoever's in charge of the U.S. Netflix should have said, no. You know, I mean, you can either blame France, but when you said, yeah,
it was depravity.
It's a good idea to run 10-year-olds, you know.
Gyrating 10-year-olds,
no,
depravity.
That's out. So somebody in America should have said, over here, we have
but
a
that's
higher
the point,
standard.
Jace. They didn't say. They didn't stand up.
That's why I canceled the Netflix. Now, I made a statement
good
on that.
For you.
Because to me, that's 100% clear. Now, all the things that happen within the, you know,
I don't even know what Netflix is.
Well,
that's
what's
down
funny.
That road.
Yeah, that's what's funny. Yeah. But all the things that happen in cop criminal behavior, because I'm one. I spent 2 years out of prison. I've talked about that before. Trying to help people, not because they were in prison, because they were out there being persecuted for Jesus. These were criminal thugs.
Yep.
And I said, well, I'm going to try to help the world be a better place and give them a path to freedom, even though they may never get outside this jail. So
I've done the same.
And look, and most of the guys that was in prison I talked to were black.
Yep.
Now, that, you know, it was not something that I was looking for. It just, you know, when you're the only white guy, because they let you in the cell, the cop doesn't stay in there with you. He leaves. So you're looking around, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm the only white guy in here today. And they laugh or whatever. But I was trying, you know, as far as looking at them as people, I want them in heaven. And I didn't really care what happened. I didn't care if they was innocent, if they had been done wrong, or if they were criminals. You know, what I concluded based on the conversation is most of them deserve to be in there based on what they said. They're like, yeah, I did it, and I'm in here. I want to get out. I'm like, well, when you get out, if you surrender to Jesus, he'll help you make better decisions and keep you out. That's basically the only angle I was doing. But that's what I'm saying. We can all in our different ways do things to try to help the planet. But the fact that I'm in a country and I'm allowed to do that, I think is pretty impressive of the country.
Every time I speak to a prison or prisoners, I tell them, you can be under lock and key, which you are. I said, and you're never getting out of here. Lifers, there's no getting out. However, you can be under lock and key and still be free.
Let's take a break.
Even in your situation. Therefore, you say, did some of them turn? Some of them turned.
But just think about our country, too. You can carry a gun in most places, especially in the South. I think that's pretty awesome. Most countries, you can't do that. I'm saying as long as we have that right, I feel good about this place. I mean, that's a lot of trust because most of the – I don't know about
– But you would agree with me, though, that we can't conflate the two kingdoms.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, so
the only thing I didn't like is saying I'm pretty sure this is going down.
Do you think it's going to last forever?
Well, no, but you're just being argumentative there. No, I mean, it seemed like it was imminent, like the country's – because I hear people say, oh, this country is going to fall. But I'm like, well, okay, if that happens, we got a whole different set
it
of
doesn't
situation.
Matter when, my point is it doesn't matter when it is. It's a temporal kingdom, and what I don't want for my own self is to engage in temporal solutions to temporal problems. I'm looking for something eternal. I thought about even we talk about race. I'm like in diversity, and I'm like the inside of the character of God,
mm-hmm.
particularly in John 14, which we're kind of.
Well,
in.
We're called the city, the country, the church. You know, the kingdom. We're inside. I was just making the point.
Royal
look,
Mason.
I was making the point that okay, let's say people who don't believe in Jesus. How am I supposed to get along with them? Well, the first thing I go to is we're Americans. We have something in common. We're free Americans, and I try to use that one thing we have in common to come together. They don't believe in Jesus, and they don't want to hear about it.
You're talking about when you're talking to Americans.
Well, yeah. I'm saying I don't – this is all coming from people protesting the flag. I do not like people, no matter what happened to you, protesting the flag. I don't like that. Protest anything else. Go, you know, walk through the streets or whatever. But to me – if we're going to be unified, we have to have one point of reference. Now, I would love it to be God, because I think our flag was written, you know, basically on the backs of people who founded our country, who, through religious freedom, things we've talked about. It ultimately comes back to godly principles to me. But I'm saying, as a society, no matter what beef you have, whether you're right, whether you're wrong, whether you're being oppressed, we have to have one thing to bring us together to get along. And to me, as Americans, it's the flag. That's our flag.
I stood on Omaha Beach, and I looked over there to where the bluffs are. I guessed it at about, with the tide where it was, I would say about a 400-yard sprint. Mm-hmm. If I got off one of them landing crafts, which our troops did, they had to go 400 yards, just white sand. There was no cover. And if you made it to the bluffs, well, then you're down there at the base of that bluff. That helped some. But the sprint of that 400 yards, I was standing there saying, I will never, ever disrespect the flag of the United States of America. Ever. I will never do that. I was just looking at what those guys did. Some of them 17, 18. My uncle died over, I think he was in Okinawa, but in World War II. But I said, no, this is enough for me right here. Never disrespect the flag. Those guys, I just hope they were, most of them were, back then in the 40s, there were a lot more godly people than there are now. So I'm thinking a lot of them were children of the resurrection. But if you didn't believe in Jesus and the resurrection before you landed at Omaha Beach, it would have been a good idea to put your faith in him at that point. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it was a bloodbath. But I think a better commonality to start with, because some people might hear what you're saying, they're not going to identify with you on that because they don't recognize what you just said, or maybe.
Well, move to France.
Well, I'm just telling you.
I'm saying if you're going to stay here.
Think about exactly the price paid in blood on those beaches right there.
Yeah.
I mean,
they
weren't there to conquer France. They were there to liberate it.
All right, well, let me give you an illustration. All right, so you and your wife, have y'all been perfect?
Mm-mm.
You've mistreated each other.
Absolutely.
Things happen. There has to be something that brings you together. There has to be something. Because you're going to make mistakes, and this is your wife who you love.
No, I agree.
She loves you. There has to be a point of reference. Now, ultimately, it is our eternal kingdom. It's Jesus. But there are people in America who don't believe in Jesus. There's a bunch of them.
But Jace.
So how can we come together and not be divided? Well, they said, well, we're protesting, but then they protest the only thing that we can rally around, because a flag doesn't do anything. It's just a flag. It's not going to say, hey, you're right, you're wrong. It represents that flawed people have come together with some very bad decisions in our past.
Well, you just
you
just identified something we can rally around I think there's three things. Number one, here's what we rally around.
Okay.
The first thing is
the Constitution.
Nope. Oh. Nope. No, listen, we as humans, we rally around the fact that all humans are made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26. That's your first commonality that everybody
has
in common.
But I was saying, what are the things that Americans can rally around, even though they don't believe in God?
We can't get there, though, because we're not – to get to anything about social contracts, we first have to establish – that we have a common anthropology in the fact that we're all humans made in the image of God.
You may be right, but I'm just saying you have to come up with something. I mean, it may not be possible. I thought of the flag because I thought,
that's
the only thing that I can think of that's just not going to argue. It's not going to – there's
but
people –
But it will.
Other Americans died for our 50s.
They burned the flags.
But I think if you burn the flag, you need to move. That's my point. But if you're going to stay here, don't protest.
Let's take a quick break.
Let's protest before and after. But when we have a flag moment – Let's come together.
But as kingdom people, I think that our job is to speak into the three commonalities that precede all of that. And all of what you just said flows out of, number one, we're all made in God's image.
Yes.
Number two, we're all sinful.
Yes.
And number three, if you're in Christ, we're all redeemed if you're in Christ. And all what you're talking about,
I'm not arguing that one.
But even the social contract, even that, I mean, go back to our founding fathers' documents. They didn't come out and say, let's all rally around America. That's what the French Revolution did. They said, let's rally around a cause. What Jefferson was said is no.
I'm not saying rally around America. I'm not saying all that. All I'm saying is don't have the Star Spangled Banner before a football game if we're going to protest it. Just don't do it. Well, I'm trying to watch a game and take a break from life, and they're getting paid to do that. I mean, millions of dollars. So I'm saying, if you want to go protest something, let's go protest it. Do whatever you want to on your own time. But we're coming together to watch. I thought we was watching football. That's all I'm saying. You're getting complex. I'm getting simple. I wanted to watch the actual game, and I can't do it because of all the pageantry and circus going around it. So I'm like, leave the flag to people who want to unite. So if you want to me, I'd be sitting in a room and say, okay, we're going to protest the flag. I'm like, well, you know what? We're not singing the Star Spangled Banner then. There's no, who said we got to sing a Star Spangled Banner before a football game? Where did that come from? Is that a law?
Just a little tradition.
Well, it's a tradition that we're going to have to change, I guess, because people can't do it without desecrating the flag. So I'm saying, why not either don't sing, don't even have it, or if we have it, my point was, no matter what's happened in the past, we're now in the present, and we're going to sing the Star Spangled Banner, and we're going to have a flag. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to join together and respect each other and the flag. I just think the country would be way better off every time that happened.
You're probably true.
That happened. That's all I'm saying.
The Apostle Paul, what makes me feel good about the whole thing, whether the country makes it, it doesn't make it, whatever, I'm following Jesus to the death. What then shall we say in response to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? If it was He who didn't, if He didn't spare His own Son, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Who's going to say, well, yeah, it's God who justifies. Who is He that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, there's the gospel, is at the right hand of God and also is interceding for us. Everything's been covered. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, lots of trouble in the country, all earthly kingdoms, a lot of trouble, Dash, like you said. We're sitting here as the kingdom of God saying, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? No. Hardship? No. How about persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness or danger or sword, as is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Let her rip. We're children of the resurrection. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Here's what the kingdom of God and the Jesus people can say with confidence in the face of anything. I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. All these things, we're more than conquerors.
Yep.
Through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, listen, that neither, He starts with death, neither death. If you believe in me, you're never going to die. You'll live forever. Shall life, no matter what kind of life it is, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor future, or any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord.
That's it.
To me, that's pretty comforting.
That is comforting.
That's where I am.
I mean, to me,
I wish the country well. I wish they would behave.
So we're not.
I hate the rioting and the looting.
We're not doomsday. We're good.
That's right.
We can live in peace.
We're good.
Well, that's right. We are.
No matter what the country does, whether it rises or falls or lives on and Trump turns it around, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm voting for the godly. I'm voting for Trump. Get in there, Trump. I'm looking at your record. You're doing well. Keep it up. And all the left-wingers, they hate God. They hate me for whatever reason, racists and that and other. I'm like, oh, well. I said, I'm just going to put my faith in Jesus. He died for me, removed my sins, going to raise me from the dead. I'm good to go. And I'm just going to try to be salt on the earth.
And to me, every time.
Little light shining, little salt. I'm just trying to say, come on.
Every time this happens, you realize that we got a job to do.
Oh.
That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, I'm the same way. But you can't be like, well, I'm going to go live in a cave. I'm not voting because the whole thing's falling. And there's nothing I can do.
We can't let ourselves get depressed.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Because who knows?
And I'm not advocating that. In fact, I think that if we truly believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and that means He's Lord over everything, and as you mentioned earlier, the verse about being a priesthood of believers, like I'm a priest.
Yeah.
And you're a priest. And you're a priest. And Cole is a priest. And
we some raggedy-looking priests.
But I'll tell you this. I've said this before. If you will spend more time, as people listening, you'll spend more time reading the Word, reading the Book of John, than you do just watching the news. Because especially in a quarantine environment, people are not going anywhere. They're inflaming. You know, the world's a big place. And people are messing up. All right? Things happen. But most of what's happening is not based on what you kind of forget what actually caused the whole problem. People just become inflamed because there's no Jesus, and they think, I'm here to protest. And you say, how long? Till they die. It's just what they just move to the next protest. You have groups of people in these inner cities, they just move from one protest site to the other, and that's what I was addressing.
They won't take yes for an answer.
And they won't bow.
Misery follows them everywhere they go.
They won't respect the flag or the people who died for it or the people represented by it, which is all citizens, because they're even through vandalism and looting and outright murder in protesting something that they wind up doing way worse than what originally—
But
they were protesting. So I'm saying I'm protesting the protest.
I looked at the signs, and the ones that the little 25-year-old chicks had, it said,
don't say it, Phil.
We're going to hell and we're proud.
Okay, I thought there was another sign.
We're going to hell and we're proud. And that's the one I thought, give me a break. It just keeps going on and on.
So at some point,
we just have to be oblivious to it, reach out to our neighbor, love God, love our neighbor, and march on.
When I saw that, I thought, you know what I thought? I thought, nope, you're lying, and that's why you're going there.
Well, to close it up, my whole point was that all these things we're talking about, though, are, you know, it's been said that politics is downstream of culture, and culture is really downstream of are the way we view God as a society.
When the culture goes corrupt, they elect corrupt officials and politicians. And then you have the policies that the corrupt are put forth.
But
it's like this. But you say, whose fault is it? It's our fault.
It's our fault. And if you see a culture of disrespect in any capacity, then that's I would probably be able to show you that is proceeding from a culture that has denied those three truths, that man's made in God's image, and that he's wicked and sinful, and that he can only be made right by the living God.
We're finding
Jesus.
It difficult to draw up enough will to just punish the wicked. It's getting more difficult for us every day. We can't punish the wicked. I used to make a joke, you think it's rough with law enforcement, do away with them and get back with me. Well, I had no idea some fool would come along and say, that's exactly what we're going to do. Do away with law enforcement.
You do away with law enforcement. I mean, y'all are using big issues. I'm thinking, that's why I said I was being simplistic. I think most of the country's problem is you can't laugh anymore, because if you make a joke, you might offend somebody. Yep. You can't even watch a dang football game anymore.
That's right.
Cutting to the sideline reporter telling you the backstory of why they, you know, were protesting.
I don't like the empty stands, but they put the audio, yay, like the
Well, that's Hollywood.
Like the stadium was full. I said, now that's really something. There's nobody in the audience. Nobody up in the stands.
Now we're back to the media and Hollywood.
But they got false
and
hollering.
Back to John 14, because it's not truthful.
Yeah, it's not.
Somebody scores and it's like, whoa, they all scored, but there's nobody there. And I thought, this thing is getting kind of fake.
Yeah, fake news. It's fake news.
What gave it away when the crowd went wild and the stands are empty?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
I mean, I'm like, man.
That's what I'm saying. They play all that up, and they have these meetings, and they say, okay, now for the Star Spangled Banner, see how many people kneeled, how many people stood, how many people. We just want to watch the football. Yeah.
Jason, I'm not at ease. I said, well, Miss Kay said, well, I like to watch, you know, Mahomes and some of them. And so we're watching football. We didn't watch it at first, but we started watching a few games.
And I've made you feel better about it, haven't you?
I just didn't feel comfortable watching it.
You didn't feel right about it.
There was something about it.
Holy Spirit convicting you.
The false crowd.
He had convicted Jason.
I told Miss Kay, I said, I'm not enjoying these ball games like I used to.
Are you going to watch the LSU game?
Probably.
Because they're not professionals.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.